going back to being on tour, what's the best thing about being on tour and what's your favourite part of the day?
The days off.
Shopping?
Going swimming, jacuzzi, a bit of shopping, watching TV. I got my little guitar with me. Writing my next solo album.
Yes, I was going to ask about that. Are you doing solo albums or is
I've
that...
I've got enough songs, but you know, they probably... I think a couple of them could probably turn into manic songs, to be honest.
And what about James? Is he keen to do another solo album?
I'm not sure. I'm not that keen. I feel... I've just literally learned to play guitar again. You know, the one thing the solo album did really help, well, especially in the writing of Your Love Alone, that I don't think I could have done that without, you know, releasing that Tuneless Dirge first.
It's lovely. He's a big fan.
Oh, well, I love you.
Will you still be the manic when you're 50?
I'm pretty sure not. I am. The clock is ticking. But you caught me at this precise moment. We are thinking about recording. It's just where do you go, really?
Mm.
You know, that classic Simon Price says that every manic album is a reaction to their last. But I don't know if we could do that again. I don't know if we could be that obtuse to kind of work so hard to get back to this level and then kind of fuck it all up again, because it's hard enough. With this climate of downloads and everything, it's hard enough to sell records anyway. You know, it really is.
It does kind of feel like it's a little bit like 98 again.
Yeah, no, there is a bit of that about it.
People, I mean, there's been, you know, for years, people know I do this thing that I do, and they're always, who are you talking about? We don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And now people are saying to me, who are not in any way related to even this kind of lifestyle, that coming to me and saying, oh, yeah, that band, I know, I heard them on the radio, you know, and it's quite fulfilling as a
thing. No, it is. You see, like I said, I mean, everything has felt brilliant this year. It still feels good now, but I don't know if we're just a bit... We've tried really hard not to be repetitive this year, and we've tried to do things just to make it a bit more exciting for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
And perhaps the first time we've just worried that we pushed it too much this year. That's all. But just to get in the end of your polls and in Q and in Cut.
I was going
to
say about the being voted the enemy's 40th tallest person. So why do you think you are cool?
I think because kind of dragged the band out of the deepest mire that it's ever been in.
Okay.
And I'm not really in an egotistical way, just in a kind of... I remember saying to James, it's not about enjoyment, it's about achievement. Sounds like a football manager or something, but I think we had to just kind of... just have to stop enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
And actually start doing something important.
So is that, in some way, fan service? Or did you go out to make an album that you knew the fans would like?
We really wanted to make an album that we thought we had a shot of becoming big again.
Okay.
Really did, you know. Just like connecting with people.
Connecting
with people who listen to the radio and all those cliche things.
Okay.
And the enemy, you know, the fact that I'm in there, it might be too wild and childish, but it makes me feel good. You know, we're never going to be the band who's kind of welcomed by a magazine like Mojo as being authentic and rustic and all that. But, you know, the enemy is a kind of natural home.